Hey friend, what's up? Jeff Zimfer, host of Mortgage Marketing Radio Podcast. This is the place where we help mortgage originators move from solicitor and vendor to becoming a partner and a peer by helping them attract versus chase real estate agents and get more conversations that leads to more contracts. More on that in a moment. Got a question for you. You ever ask yourself, what's the best CRM? Oh boy, is that one of the most popular questions we see over there on social media and the Facebook groups. What's the best CRM? And let the debates begin. And then, of course, you know the answer that many people throw up is the trite, the one you use. Oh, well, thanks for that deep answer. Look, that answer actually depends on a variety of different circumstances. And today, in just a moment, we're going to actually probably provide the best, most thorough answer to that question you've ever heard and a lot more entertainment, fun, insights, and good stuff for you. But before we do, are you a solicitor and vendor? Do you chase agents or do you attract agents? Do you build a personal brand? Are you 15 mile famous? You remember that movie with Paul Rudd called I Love You Man? I don't know if you remember the opening of that. Well, in that movie, Paul Rudd plays a real estate agent in Beverly Hills, right? And he's struggling to succeed as a real estate agent. And so, the other character in the film, I can't remember his name right now, but decides to invest in Paul and take out a bunch of billboards for Paul Rudd's character, in the movie. And if you remember, the billboards are like, you know, him in a thong, him, you know, doing the shootout with the Wild Wild West, him playing a secret agent, like, and it's quite hilarious. And he's embarrassed as hell. But the point is, by putting all those billboards up, his phone rang off the hook. He became well known, right? People loved the billboards now, you know, and so they decided to call him, and his business grew as a result of becoming well known. And I would say that, or I would ask you, how well known are you? Are you 15 mile famous, 5 mile famous? If we put a picture of you up on that billboard in your local area, how many referral partners would recognize you? How many people would look up to the billboard and go, ah, I know that person because I've seen them, they're top of mind, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're not well known, right? If you're a secret agent, how can I choose you? If I don't know you exist, how can I choose you? And that's what we help mortgage originators do, is become 15 mile famous, leading with education, content, and classes that accelerates conversations and referrals. How do I know? I'm looking at this page of success stories and testimonials that we've got put up here on this page, which I'm going to share with you the link in a moment. You can go look at these. But man, it just goes on and on and on. Here's Michelle Fairman Otto. What's up, Michelle? Just saw you at the Mastermind event in Vegas. Michelle, longtime member. She says, agents love these classes. She's had at least 10 agent meetings and 10 million in fundings because of the classes. Wow. Mitch Tugod, Neighborhood Loans. I did 10 ways to get more listings and got 6 emails from agents saying they want to work together. Guys, when I was at the Mastermind Summit recently, Sean Panosian, top originator in the country, said, it is separation season. By the way, Sean also does events and classes as a consistent part of his business because he is about grabbing market share right now. What are you doing to become 15 mile famous? What are you doing to grab market share? What are you doing to separate yourself from the rest? How do you increase your conversations and engagement in this current market? Hopefully it's not just about products and price. You know what that does. That makes you look like a vendor. So if you want to learn more about how we help mortgage originators double their agent referrals in just 90 days, I want you to go to this page and check out this new program I've got. I want you to go to getmoreagentreferrals.com. Link is in the show notes, but getmoreagentreferrals.com. It's the Agent Referral Accelerator Program where we help you double your agent referrals in 90 days. How to attract, engage, and convert more real estate agents to referral partners. I hope to see you there on the other side. All right, this week, my special guest, really enjoyed this conversation with Scott Payne from Shape CRM. Scott has a lot of wisdom and fun stories to share, from wearing wigs at conferences to his groundbreaking CRM solution, Shape CRM. I had a demo of Shape a while back, and I've had a demo of pretty much every platform out there and used quite a few of them as well. And I have to say, I was impressed. I don't get anything for this. There's no compensation to me. I'm not getting kickbacks or referrals. I'm just bringing you the lowdown on what I think is one of the most easy to use platforms to help you better optimize and run your business. As you guys know, one size does not fit all with CRMs. And so we have a pretty cool conversation about some of the differences in, out there on different platforms, what you should be looking for. But then we also have a pretty cool conversation about becoming memorable. And Scott shares his journey about becoming memorable, what he does with why he's wearing wigs at different events and so forth, his fitness journey and personal growth, serving his local community, and then how Shape CRM is revolutionizing lead management with prioritization, AI integration, easy documentation support, etc. I encourage you to definitely check out the link in the show notes if you want to get a little bit more information about Shape CRM. Link in the show notes. But if you want to know what it is right now, it is setshape.com/radio. Otherwise, check the link in the show notes. So without further ado, let's get into this week's show.
Scott, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Jeff?
Thanks. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good to see you in the flesh.
In person. This is awesome. Right? Yeah.
Here absolutely. We are in Vegas, this amazing studio. Yeah. You're here for the Mastermind Summit.
That's right.
And we have had a virtual, right, an online kind of relationship that's built over the last several months. We both are co-authors of The Green Book.
The Green Book, that's right, yeah.
Right? Rethink Everything You Think You Know.
Yep.
About being a next-gen originator. So we got a lot to talk about, man. I'm hoping we can get it all in.
Right.
In the time that we have. So, but for those who might not know who you are, what you do, take a couple of moments, whatever you want to share.
Sure.
Like, what would you like the listeners to know about you?
Wow. So I would say, I'm a mortgage guy, kind of, that's where I got my start. Back in 2004, I started at a company called Syntex Home Equity, which became NationStar, which is now called Mr. Cooper. And I started there as a loan officer, fresh out of college, because that's what all my friends were doing. I was going to be a coach and teacher and do all that. But then all my friends were doing this loan officer thing. It's like, I'll go try it. And all of them were doing this like subprime, you know, and driving their Jaguars straight out of college. And yeah. I got put on this team that was a team designed to essentially where we could write Fannie Mae DU underwriter type loans. And it was done strategically, really, really smart, because it kind of saved the company later on.
Mm.
Because when everything went to crap and hit the fan, we at least had the ability to write loans through Fannie Mae that was already set up and ready to go. And it really kind of catapulted my career, because I became a trainer for the entire company, because I'd been writing loans through DU for 3 years at that point in time. But regardless, I got thrown in, and to a point where it was very difficult to sell these, call it prime type loans, in a subprime company who was throwing subprime overlays on these DU underwriting. You know, here's the guidelines, but hey, let's add all these overlays on top.
Mm.
It was very difficult, and we were buying leads and trying to compete with rates that were not competitive. And so I got a crash course in selling. Not only that, but also a crash course in how to manage leads.
Mm.
Because you had to manage leads very well in order to compete with the people we were buying leads against, especially LendingTree type, where banks compete you in. And so I had to come up with my own kind of strategy. Now, we had a system a little bit, but I had to like come up with, first it was paper. It's like an organization of paper.
Right.
Evolved it into like the spreadsheet where I was able to organize and move things around and color code and do all of that.
Mm.
And really that helped give me the baseline for where I'm at today, really. Mm. You know, I really had to, you know, I think when you go through hard things like that, you have to really, really learn in hard ways. Really can build a career off of those types of things, especially as in my lead management journey over time. So long story short, I ended up 2 years as a loan originator, moved in through management and training program. I got the opportunity to spend time in the management and training program. We spent 30 days as an underwriter, 30 days as a processor, really dove in and understood the roles really well. But we also got 30 days in various roles. I was lucky enough to spend 30 days in marketing.
Mm.
And I was in charge of lead distribution to our 107 retail branches throughout the country who were getting 2 LendingTree leads per LO per day. And I was in charge of distributing those leads out and making sure that everyone was happy. And really was just fielding phone calls from regional VPs yelling at me for not having enough leads. It's really what it was. But, it was a good opportunity to learn that side of the business, because now I get to see what marketing had to go up against to understand how they got leads and challenges and all of that.
Right.
Fast forward, became a sales manager for 2 years. Had to hire a brand new team, had 15 loan officers, had to train them up. My strategy was I would go hire former college athletes. So I had basketball player from SMU, TCU, I had soccer player from TCU, UNT, all these places around Dallas would hire, and it was a competitive team. We had competitions. Awesome. Really, really fun. But over time, my competitiveness of the team really started to show because I had a way to really help when it came to marketing and sales.
Yeah.
I had a way to help, especially in that role that I was in previously, help translate things better. So when we had issues with leads, the way that I approached it with marketing was way different than everyone else. A lot of people would just come in and, you know, hey, give me, you know, this is messed up. I would come in with more analytical, saying this, and, you know, understood that. And what it turned into, all of this turned into, was I became a sales liaison between sales and marketing. Mm. It was a new role that we had created where I became the quarterback, if you will, between sales and marketing. Every time they'd come to a meeting, it was a fist fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sure it wasn't the referee?
Yeah, referee. And really what I ended up calling it, and called it to this day, I've written articles about my time at that, yeah, was the marriage counselor.
Yeah, yeah.
There I had you to go. Counsel sales and marketing, right, with, okay, you know, John and sales, like, have you run this number? You know, and hey, Marianne and marketing, have you done this, right? And so, hey, let's get along today, right? And but it really was. And guess what? When they get along, you have a good marriage getting along.
Yeah.
Flourish, right? Mm-hmm. When they're battling, it's tough.
Right.
So I became in charge of that and ultimately became in charge of all lead distribution and all lead analytics for 1,500 loan officers in the country,
wow,
around the country.
Yeah.
And because of that, I determined I needed a really good lead management system to do it.
Mm.
So in order to do that, did my due diligence, found a system called Velocify or Lead 360 at the time,
mm-hmm,
or Velocify now. Yep. And started implementation of that in 2011. Implemented that. We had Consumer Direct. That was the main focus, but we had five or six different divisions using it, including retail, which was not something that was typically done with a Velocify type system. Mm-hmm. But I found ways to make it work in the retail environment that also coupled it with Consumer Direct. Mm. Again, hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
And anyways, went really, really well. I got tired of working for one mortgage company. I convinced Velocify to hire me. I went to go work for Velocify. I became a Velocify's enterprise account manager, traveled the US, spent time with 30 of the biggest accounts for Velocify, started speaking at conferences, and realized that these big companies out there did not have a very good, a lot of the good administrators of the systems would leave and they'd get frustrated. So I was able to start my own company in 2019 called STP Solutions, where I became the administrator, my team became the administrator of the software for 77 different Velocify clients, and helped with re-implementations and you name it, what have you. And so it went really well. And over time, what we realized is that there's so much more than just mortgage that needs lead management. We'll talk more about where lead management exists in life.
Yeah.
In other places, but there's so many places where lead management exists.
Mm.
And unfortunately, Velocify only does mortgage now. Mm-hmm. So we were looking at ways to expand. We started looking at other systems, and I came across a system called Shape Software.
Yep.
Fell in love. It crushes it in mortgage and consumer direct, crushes it in retail, but also does all of the other industries extremely well as well.
Mm.
Combined all of that together, started working with some clients on Shape, and it went so well that Shape bought STP Solutions last year.
Wow, nice. Good for you.
Yeah. And now I'm part of the Shape team.
Congratulations, man.
That's my
man.
History. Did I get through that?
You got through that in like 4 minutes. That's fantastic.
That's a first. Wow.
Life flashes before your eyes.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, a lot of time on planes, a lot of time in conferences. You've worked with all kinds of different companies, you know, controlling leads for that many people. This is why I think this is an interesting conversation, because you've seen a lot of people only see, you know, this whole lead management issue, the CRM discussion. They only see it from the silo of their own company. You've seen it across many companies. Absolutely. And multiple companies. So I think this is a good conversation to have. The primary listener of my podcast is mostly going to be the individual loan officer, right? There are some executives, branch managers, et cetera. But, you know, these are the folks that are typically, in most cases, probably using the CRM provided for them by the company. So I wanted that. Let's enter the conversation from there then. From what you've seen, peeling back the layers of the curtain, like, where do you think most originators underutilize, overlook, right? Kind of drop the ball, regardless of the CRM they have, because, you know, the core functionality is there, right? There are some other platforms and companies that have enhancements. We'll talk about SetShape and like, you know, what that all looks like. But how would you, like, if you had a room of LOs right now, it's just like, guys, the first three things you're probably overlooking your CRM are, mm-hmm. like, where would you start?
So I would say, you know, it's tough to say because, you know, some systems don't have, you know, some of the things I would mention, but there'd be ways to make some of these things maybe work in some ways. You know, ultimately, I think the number one thing, though, that I talk about to people is that you need to be able to prioritize your day mm-hmm. and eliminate any time that requires you to think about what to do next. Right. Mm-hmm. And so and what I mean by that is like you should have a hit list of things that when you call this person or you reach out and you've done what you need to do on this most important thing, that you don't spend any time thinking about what to do next. You literally have very next in this list, this person.
Okay.
And you move immediately to that next person. And when that's done, you move to the next person. The reason
when you say prioritize your day, what does that mean? Is that by activities?
So this is based on activities of people who are needed to be interacted with at this moment. It could be a brand new customer. It could be a customer who is in your pipeline or someone who is maybe taking an application but hasn't committed yet. It could be someone who mm-hmm. You know, hasn't sent in their documents yet mm-hmm. or what have you. Maybe that's with an LOA or
so that
or
in and further, of itself is a bit of a management structure like flow issue that they have to manage in their CRM of like, how do I prioritize? I've got those. That's like five different examples.
Well, so the best lead management and CRM systems will have that kind of set up for you in that they will have integrated with your LOS to be getting those statuses back.
Right.
And they will have written rules to take all of that thinking out of the picture for you, meaning that, you know, they'll be set up to where, you know, we know that what is the most important thing for this loan officer to do? Mm-hmm. We know that the best use of their time out of these five things, the most important thing to do would be this thing.
Yeah.
So order that at the top. And the next thing would be these things. And based on the status of the records, it then shows up in the list. Now, you know, and that's why it was tough to answer the question exactly because some systems don't have that and some are integrated with some of the other systems
right.
or what have you. So it's tough to answer that exactly, but I can tell you about with Shape is that when it's integrated with the LOS and when you're putting your records in the system, when you have, meaning that you have a customer who might be interested, so you have that top of funnel type customer that's going in, whether from a landing page or mm-hmm. a referral partner has sent you someone, you're putting that into the system. So you have top of funnel all the way down to previous customers mm-hmm. who might be interested for maybe a check-in or now their rate. Or they've had a trigger or whatever. So it takes all of those things and puts it into one list of things for you to do. And by the way, we didn't even talk about this yet, but it could also be a referral partner mm-hmm. that hasn't sent you a lead in 3 weeks. Where does that fit into all of this? Hmm. Right? Maybe that's at the top of the list versus other things. Shape, you know, today already does that for you. You don't need to think. We know that that's the third most important thing to do in your list. And so it would present it in that way to do it for you. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. End of the day, I used to say that my goal when I would train loan officers, because I would do a lot of training myself, even as an account manager, my goal was to save a loan officer 2 hours per day. If they would just use the priority view, I would set it up in a way where they could save themselves 2 hours a day. And I would ask them, like, close your eyes. Just think, I'm going to give you 2 hours extra a day. What would you do with that at work? They would sit there and I'm like, just imagine, what would you do 2 hours extra a day? Would you call more people? Would you, would you go sit at the water cooler? Like, would you go taking that longer lunch? Like, what would you do with extra 2 hours? Mm. Right. And get them all excited and think about it. All right, let me show you how you can do that. And it was this priority view where you just work from the top down. And we've already taken that thought process out of it. Now, I've even gotten into, we have built into Shape the idea of scoring.
Yeah.
So, and using AI to score. So knowing that these things convert better than these things. And so using that now in the score. So let's say you have five applications of customers who just filled out the application this week and you need to follow up to get documents. We will have scored those five and put the highest score at the top. So now you can call that one first and get their documents without having to like go look at the five to determine and all of the stuff.
Well, who's setting the score? The loan officer?
The system, our system learns over time based on their performance, based on their closed loans, based on a number of things. Our system learns over time. Other systems, they, you know, maybe they could set up, you know, and say, this is like my ICP or whatever, but our system will, you set up an ICP in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then it will use that as a start, and then it learns over time.
Hmm. That sounds pretty smart, pretty yep. intuitive. Yeah, I love the concept of prioritizing your time and prioritizing your relationships as well. Yeah, because I think it's like you said, if you had 2 hours back in your day, or another way I look at that is, I was recently having some conversations about, you know, the concept of 10X your business, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the concepts we were working on recently is like identify the top three things that move the needle most in your business, right? So we do this exercise with LOs. It's like, write down the top three things. Okay, great. So here's the top three. Great. Now identify the one thing that would move the needle the most, right? And then ask yourself, how much time have you spent on that in the last 7 days or 10 days or whatever it is, right? Yep. And it's just a little kind of awareness thing, because we get so caught up in the working, you know, to use the old cliche, working in the business instead of on the business.
Sure.
But I think that's what's cool about when, you know, kind of what I opened up with the question of, we get bogged down in the minutia of this business and all the moving parts, et cetera. The right type of a technology tool should be to give you your time back.
That's right.
Do you think most CRMs haven't delivered on that?
The most of the ones I have seen have not delivered on that component of it. Yeah. Hmm. Have not delivered on the giving people their time back.
And by the way, this isn't like, oh, I want to throw other CRMs under the
correct,
bus.
Yeah.
I'm just having an honest conversation in that, like I, you know, talk with a lot of LOs as you have, right?
Yeah,
and that's just one of the constant narratives I hear is just like, you know, the learning curve is never ending.
Correct.
Right. And they never seem to, they spend more time in the damn platform or tool trying to figure stuff out than they do actually freed up to do the selling or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'll give you a great example. Yeah. There are systems like that, no doubt. And there's systems that I know, for example, will, like if I have a question, like how do I do this, right? How do I add this new lead source? Because I have a new referral partner. How do I add this new lead source? Well, I don't know. I've got an email support, right? And this is going to sound familiar to a lot of people. I get email support. And then, okay, when am I going to hear back? I don't know. Some days could be 40 hours, 72 hours, right? And then when they email me back, am I going to be in that spot where I can actually do something with it at that moment? Probably not. I've got to then wait until I have a chance. Right now we're talking 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe a week before I'm out.
Insane.
Right? Yeah. We have trained a AI bot with every support ticket that we've ever received at Shape, to where now you can simply just go to the AI bot and say, how do I add a new lead source? And it will spit out with, how do you add a new lead source? Right there.
Hmm.
Step by step, here's how you do it.
Time saver.
Right. And if you have further questions from that point, you can then submit a ticket to support, and they will get back to you within much record time than some of the other places you'll find out there. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. But regardless, we are finding that our customers love that instant access, because it could be on a Saturday at 10 p.m. when they're finally get a chance to get in the system and do something, or it could be, you know, late night, one night, whatever. Okay. So
one of the things was prioritization.
Yeah.
Like if we go back to like the top, and then maybe you don't have three, right? In terms of like, hey, here's the big, the three things you're probably, you know, doing less effectively than you could in whatever CRM you have. Is there any other?
Yeah. I think, you know, documenting things, right? Like documenting conversations is difficult for some. Like I have a good conversation with someone, but I don't have the time to go back and find that record and update it, the record in the appropriate way or update fields appropriately so that I can use those fields efficiently down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a good conversation with the borrower or a referral partner who's giving me their information or whatever and talking about their story and whatever it is, I need to go update the system so that I can use it, or my LOA can use it, or down the road if I need to reference back to it, or even 3 years from now when I need to go back and reference what was their kid's name who was in high school and are they going to graduate? Like, I need to get that in the system somewhere. I can't store it all right here, right? And so we just find a lot of times systems make it difficult to do that. We have a mobile app in Shape.
Mm-hmm.
I use the other kind of point here or point to mention is that at Shape, we use Shape. Our salespeople use Shape. Right. So I always tell people like, hey, if you're shopping for a lead management system or CRM, ask the salesperson you're working with to show you their CRM.
Right.
And ask them, why is it not your system? Why are you not using your system? Right. And we use Shape, and I love it because like we're able to like design, like I love it. I'm always feeding like, hey, what if it did this? We add this, whatever. But I use it. I use it on the plane. I use it on my couch. Mm-hmm. I use the mobile app everywhere I go. And so when we come out of a meeting, right, you come out of a meeting or you get off the phone, I'm mobile, I can just go to the mobile app, put it in. I can talk to text, have that ready to go. We're even working on things now where if you use our phone system to do it, where we could maybe transcribe the call, summarize the call, what are the next steps? Maybe even tell you, like, we suggest you change the status to this. We suggest you do a follow-up date of this. We suggest, here's an email that we suggest you send that mentions these types of things because that's what you talked about.
Yeah.
And then when you come back to the record, here are the things that you could talk about this time because the status is this, and this is a conversation your LOA had last time that you didn't know about. And here, like, and so it gives you all the stuff. Those are the things we're working on in development right now. As to why you would want to do it, things in the system, right? There hasn't been a lot of benefit in the past to go update these fields and what have you. If you have that not only in the notes, that's obviously helpful, but if you're updating the fields, that's another key component because now I can use things down the road to filter on things. Let's say I want to build an email list down the road when rates go down or if rates go up or whatever the case is, I can build list and strategically think through and maybe even help my marketing team provide me better marketing based on the data points that I've put into the system.
Okay.
Yep.
Why do you think I was thinking about, do I want to ask this question or not? I'm just going to take a shot and ask this question of the classic or perhaps the dreaded, you know, you get in the Facebook groups and there's this, it's one of the most heated, threaded comments I see, which is, you know, the, what is the best CRM? Like, I'm sorry to put it out there, but I think it's a bit of a humorous question. I have my kind of response to that, but I know you've seen it many, many times. How do you respond? Or like when you, let's say you're in the Facebook group and you see a bunch of people post that, then all this noise, like, what do you do in that group?
The best one is the best. Which one you're going to use. Yeah. Right. That's easy. You're right.
Right.
Usually if, you know, when I have responded before, I will send them usually a direct message type of deal and ask them more about what type of loan officer they are, right? Because everyone's a little bit different.
I think it's a silly response to say the one you use.
Yeah, it is.
And maybe before that, clearly somebody's asking that question for a reason, right? And I know it varies based on, but anyway, that's just one of those, like, people are always like, it's the grass is greener thing, you know? Oh, I'm using them, like, what's the best CRM? You know what I mean? It's just like, is that a self-defeating, do you think the answer to that, all right, here we go. You think the answer to that sometimes is shut up and learn the system you're using.
Sure. No doubt. Yeah. Well, I mean, some people don't even need, like, you know, CRM is kind of overused but some people don't need a CRM, right? Mm. They just need the ability to get leads from their website and be able to call them. Well, you don't need a CRM for that. You just need maybe a lead management component, right? Or if you need to do some long-term nurturing and you have maybe you need a robust CRM. So that conversation's different. And so, I think that's kind of what I think brought to the market a little bit is that I've been talking a lot over the last 5 years about lead management. Like I'm a lead management consultant, lead management. And I've struggled with that over the years of like, do I start and just say abandon lead management? Because no one knows kind of what lead management is. And they always ask. But when I say CRM, they're like, oh, I know what CRM is, right? I don't know what lead management is, but lead management is like so important to the CRM component. If you're not doing the lead management side, it doesn't work. CRM doesn't work. But I've stuck with the guns on lead management to this point. You know, now I work with Shape, which is a CRM, but it has the lead management components.
Right.
We have customers who use just the lead management components and don't use the full-blown CRM components, right? So you can use, you know, both if you wanted to
and the opposite, probably, too. Yep. Where maybe people aren't generating leads or don't have that need for that like long-term lead flow, et cetera, but they've got relationships they want to manage. And
And that's where we use, like, we have recruiting firms. So you just use the contact piece of it. We have like a health, like we're HIPAA approved. So we have mental health facilities that you will use it for recruiting doctors to come work for their facility. Really? I mean, just you name it, like cremation companies, all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So those are some couple, three ways where you can immediately optimize what you're already using. Now, obviously, anybody listening, if they want to learn more about Shape, there'll be links in the show notes. You can go to setshape.com. I personally have had a demo, and I've used a lot of different platforms since being in this industry since 2003. So, again, there's no plug here. There's no, I'm not getting a weekend out in Hawaii for, you know what I mean? But it's a very impressive platform. And I think for me, when I saw it, I'm always putting my loan officer hat on. I'm thinking like, how would I use this? How would this save me time? And I think you highlighted a couple of those features that allow people to do that. Oh, and by the way, the cool thing that I like about your platform as well is that you actually aren't enterprise only. And I think that's where the opportunity, if I'm speaking to you, the listener right now, and you can control or decide which CRM you use, or maybe you want your own, because I know a lot of L's are doing that too.
That's right. Right. I mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to have they don't want to like lose all their information if they happen to change companies.
That's right. Yep.
So they kind of dupe stuff over.
Yep.
But that would be an interesting thing for you to look at, is for your own use, you know, whatever makes sense. Seeing as you guys aren't enterprise only. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. Single user can sign up. Right. And also it's flexible contracts. So you want to try it out for a month and two, try it out. There's no long-term commitment. Yep. I mean, that was one of the first things that like when I heard that and I said like, well, tell me more about that. And they said, their response was, and this was back when I was doing my due diligence of learning systems. I asked, you know, cause I was stuck with my current system that I was supporting. And that was the number one thing. The client would buy 100 seats or 50 seats or even, let's say, 5 seats. Mm-hmm. And they let 4 people go. And now I only have 1 person left. Well, sorry, you're on the hook for all 5 for the entire year. Sorry.
Right.
What are you going to do about it? Right. And that was a response. And it was so painful to have that conversation and have to support that. So anyways, the response, though, was it is our business to earn your business every month. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do that, then we're not going to hold you to the contract. And that just struck a chord with me of like, okay, this is legit. Cool. So try it out and you like it. Great. And if you don't, you can cancel.
Yeah. And again, I hope this doesn't come across as a plug, but I right. really love tech. I geek out. I don't know if I told you before, but I spent some time in the marketing automation space. I worked at Keep, right? Back when they were Infusionsoft.
Yeah.
Those names ring a bell.
Yeah.
For you at all. Totally. Silver Pop. I don't know if you remember them.
Remember that. Yeah.
They were bought by IBM. Anyway, so I dig this tech because I think tech has a huge, a place, right, in our businesses. We need to leverage technology if we're going to scale. And just glancing here at your marketing suite, right, you've got these, what people would expect, pre-built emails, but you also have pre-built text, videos, campaign templates, co-brand with realtors, other referral partners, send newsletters. Now that's cool because I think more LLs should be sending newsletters. By the way, not the BS newsletters. Which is like all about you, like value bombs, something useful and valuable.
Sure.
And personalized stuff. So, I'm sorry. I'm just reading the website right here in front of you. So,
right.
Like cloud-based calling, texting, email. It's been a while since I had the demo, since I forgot. But there's a lot of cool stuff. So anyway, people, if you're listening, you got to check it out. Link in the show notes, SetShape, SetShape.com. All right. Speaking of like all these tools and bells and whistles, a pet peeve of mine is people trying to automate everything. Like this whole craze on AI. Like I see these people posting, hey, I just designed this AI. I put together this AI video, which is how to create a chat bot that does pre-quals for you.
Yep.
Literally saw something like that the other day.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm like, I wanted to pause my judgment on that because I'm like, well, at what stage is it doing this? Is it early stage or it sounded like what I'm cautious of there is like, oh, sure. So I just took myself out of the equation completely and automated this business versus, you know, the being a mortgage advisor
right
versus being an order taker.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a use for it, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I have been experimenting as well with video. So mm-hmm. I'm a big video guy, do a lot of video. I never was up until a couple of years ago. But as the pandemic happened and I was on Zoom calls and I was able to like look into a camera and actually like talk to the camera. I got to a point where I could actually like turn the camera around and record. And so I started doing these videos and it got to the point, I read Kyle Draper's book about like, you know, it's not about you. Stop thinking it's for you. Like you're here to serve other people, like do the videos for other people. And so all of that changed my mindset on it. And so, you know, so I've really bought into this, like, let's just do more video and create that personal connection. I have worked with consumer direct lenders in the past of like, hey, turn your camera on as well. Like you should be using your camera to do a, you know, go over the numbers with the client.
Right.
And do all of that as well. They still don't want to do it. So, you know, those out in the field, like continue to take advantage of doing your videos and stuff with customers or whatever, you know, your, all of the stuff you do on video there because consumer direct isn't buying into that yet. But regardless, I think that, you know, the personalization side of things with video is a key component because like I use a lot of like BombBomb for myself. Mm-hmm. I'll send out a BombBomb video. I like that when it comes to lead management because I can track whether or not it was opened. I can track, was it, how much of it was watched? I can track, it gives me tracking things that are important. Now I'm not trying to like be big brother and see things,
right?
But it helps me from a lead management perspective. So think back to that example. We have a 5 applications, right? I have 5 people to follow up with. Of those 5 people, if I sent them all a video with next steps and only 2 of them watched the video or opened the link to watch the video with kind of go over the numbers and only 1 of them watched the video all the way through, which ones of those do I think are most likely to convert or most interested? Probably the one who watched the video all the way through. Well, if I can get that tracking back to the lead record from my video that I recorded using a tool like BombBomb, now I can then sort that 5 by that list there, right? Does that make sense?
Okay, so you move that up on the priority list.
But priority list, that way I don't have to think, who do I follow up with next? I'm just following up with the person who...
Right.
Watch the video completely, what have you. So, you know, I think video has a component that a lot of people aren't using today, don't know really exist to use today. And, but it also prevents this, it creates this personalization component of it as well that they're going to remember you.
Yeah.
Right.
Which isn't that the goal after all?
It is. I mean, yeah.
To be memorable.
Memorable.
Isn't that why you go around to schools and wear wigs?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the pivot right there. Wait a minute. What did he just say?
Whoa.
No, it's totally legal. Right. This is actually a great point because even though I'm kind of making a joke and we're going to segue into this situation, the point is to be memorable, whether it's online, whether it's over email, whether it's face-to-face or in person in a conversation. Yep. You know, that's what people we remember. And you... Prior to you and I knowing each other, the Green Book, right? We both participated in that book, which we talked about, I believe, at the beginning, the intro. So shout out to Kyle and Brian.
Yep.
The Green Book. By the way, somebody contacted me the other day and I was like, well, how'd you hear about me? And she goes, oh, the Green Book.
Awesome. Right?
I'm like, wow. All right. The Green Book. Love it.
Awesome.
But I wasn't following you prior to the Green Book.
Right.
Right.
I've been following you since 2018, but that's fine.
Right.
Right.
You just weren't on my radar, right?
Sure. Yeah.
For whatever reason. And then all of a sudden you were, because I read your chapter, and then I started following you online. So it doesn't matter like how people get into your world, but you that's a piece of content. So you got to put something out there for a means for people to engage with you. So anyway, what I found though was like all of a sudden I'm like, dude's wearing like this wig with this headband. He's wearing these t-shirts that have abs and it just like drew me in.
Right.
You know, so what the hell is that all about?
Yeah. Well, so... Yeah, so the wig's a funny story, and you know, I've tried to like pin my stories at the top of all my stuff so that people can like immediately know like what's going on, because I feel like if I don't explain it right off the bat, they're gonna be like, "This is weird." But that said, it really does have a deep meaning to it, and it goes back to when I was 9 years old, and when I was 9 years old, my dad made the very unfortunate decision to take his own life, and so. Looking back, you know, and really the last place that I saw him was at, he took us to school and he parked on the curb at the morning drop off and he was very emotional, crying. We didn't know why, me and my brother, I was in 3rd grade, he was in 1st grade, crying, very emotional and didn't know why. But you know, we got out. So then we're emotional too, but we didn't know why, but we got out of the car, we went into school. And didn't think anything of it. What, okay, whatever happened. And so, and then later in the day, we found out that during the day he had taken his own life. Mm. So morning drop off has, to me, just always had this like kind of bad memory. Right. Yeah, sure. And, so then I had kids and my kids, went to elementary school. And again, I was in third grade when this happened. And, our elementary school had a dad's club and they were opening doors for kids. And I just made this flashback of like, oh, morning drop off. And I was like, oh, I don't think I could do that. Like I that's just going to bring back too much or whatever. Hmm. But then, it hit me like, you never know, like maybe there's a kid in there who might go through what I went through today or is going to go through what I went through today. And so maybe I could provide some type of like smile or laugh or something like that. So that when they walk into school, they might go sad to happy. Who knows? Right. Who knows what happened? So, when my kids were in kindergarten, first grade, I started helping opening doors in that dad's club. And then, kind of went all out in dad's club and took over as president of the dad's club in elementary school, like third, fourth, and fifth grade. And then usually it's done. When you get to middle school, dad's club's done. Mm-hmm. Kids are in middle school, whatever.
They don't want that anymore.
They don't want it. Like... they're done with dad's club. Right. And so, but I went and talked to our principal when my daughter was starting sixth grade. And I said, would you be okay if we allow dads to open doors for the kids in middle school? I know it hasn't been done before, but hear me out. Here's why I think it's needed. Mm. One, here's my story. So that's why I want to do it. But two, like kids are stressed in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. Yeah. Like they have a lot going on. It's a tough time. There's just, you never know, like just for them, let alone family stuff.
Right.
And he was like, you had me at your story. Like, let's do it. Right.
Yeah.
And so, so I recruited four or five dads who, we get up there at 7:30 in the morning before the kids get there. Mm. Like our kids don't even ride with us to school. We get there before our kids get there. Like our spouses bring our kids later on, but we get up there, set up the music. And
you got music too.
We play music.
You got a boombox out there.
We have even a bullhorn, which I got banned from the bullhorn because the neighbors were complaining at how loud it was.
No way.
Because I was using it way too much because I'm so obnoxious, according to certain people.
I could see that now. Yeah. I just got the visual.
Yeah. And so, so I work the little crosswalk area and I do the dances and I'll watch TikTok and learn dances. Like I'm like all out. Trying to be like
you
hip
went
and cool.
All in on this, man.
So like I have my favorites. I got to find, there's a video of me doing the gritty. You know the gritty?
No, sir.
Oh, the gritty. I was good at the gritty. Not as good as some of the kids, but the gritty was good.
Okay.
It turned into, really just kind of dancing, having fun, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, fast forward to, I saw someone wearing a wig for something. And I was like, I bet you I can get one at Amazon. So I went to Amazon and sure enough, you can get all these mullet wigs and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to just get a couple. So one Friday I wore it to school and I'm like, I'm going to embarrass my two kids. And so when I saw them, they're like, rolled their eyes or whatever, but they didn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I talked to them later and they're like, yeah, we get it. It's embarrassing, but my kids are so cool. They're like, we know your story.
Yeah.
So we're cool with it. Like, we know why you're doing it. So we're cool. And I'm like, oh, that makes me so happy. Mm. So what I started to do then was I took the, this is about the time that I was doing reading the Kyle Draper book about serving others. And I was like, well, how can I do the wig and, but also serve like lead management CRM stuff. And so I decided to record these videos of me and the wig. Mm. And it was like, hey, it's Friday. Call your leads today. It's a great way to end the week, like end the week strong or whatever. And then it turned into this kind of motivational Fun Hair Friday video where every Friday I would record myself walking to the school or walking into the drop-off line of me and my whatever the new wig was of the day.
Right.
And became this thing. And now Fun Hair Friday.
Yeah, you and your daughter in the car as well, right?
So I include now my kids. That's the other big thing I've done is included my kids in a lot of the marketing that I did. So when I was running my business, SDP Solutions, a lot of like loan officers, right? Like I'm trying to recruit new clients. I'm trying to recruit, like it's very similar. I have leads that I was calling and all kinds of stuff and management. But I've included my kids into it as well. I have the kids participate in stuff as well. Sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't. But so it's really turned a thing. I went to a conference. That's where I knew from a branding perspective and that it had taken off. I went to a conference probably a couple weeks, you know, a month or two after I'd done my first kind of Fun Hair Friday videos, multiple people said, "Where's the wig? Where's the wig? Where's the wig?" I'm like, "Ah, oh, I should have brought it." So the next conference, I brought it, and everyone loved it. And the next conference, I decided, okay, I'm going to step it up, and I wore the wig, and then I wore my muscle shirt, which is this.
See, I didn't think that was a shirt. I thought that was you.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course, everyone thought, Oh man, it's. I've worn it to a Vegas pool before, and it's just
huge hit there.
And then walking like through the casino floor, huge hit. But I wore it to a conference with the wig, with my business coat, and so and the muscles through it. And again, just a huge hit. People were talking about the next day, like,
of course,
when I wasn't wearing it.
That's being memorable.
But it's being memorable, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's an opportunity for people in every community, wherever they're at, to find a way to be memorable and not just be the loan officer that does mortgages.
Right.
You know, there's a way to, whether it's a, you know, a certain color t-shirt that you always wear, or a certain, you know, Shane, those guys, backward hat guy, like, ways to brand yourself as that person. And so I've started now even using these videos and now posting them like as my personal stuff as well. So now all of my kind of personal friends in the community as well know me as kind of the guy wearing the wig. So it's not just business. Now it's kind of the personal thing too. I have a whole assortment. I again have 20, 25 different wigs. Funny
stuff.
Is
your wife concerned?
No. I don't have it with me, but one of my latest videos I showed to school, my daughter, and I had the money hat and the money chain.
I remember the money chain. Yeah, yeah, that was great.
She wanted to make the bread today. This whole made up thing. She was like, "What are you talking about?"
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great story, by the way. Thank you for sharing that. And I think one way to stand out, by the way, is for those people who are like, "Oh, the wig isn't my thing." I think remember that what you started doing was actually serving someone else.
Yeah.
You started by, doing the dad's club and opening doors, and that led to that. So, my takeaway from that is show up and serve somewhere, wherever that is for you in your local community. I know another, one of the folks I work with, Mike Del Preto. What's up, Mike? Shout out to you. Think Chicago. He goes and volunteers at, the food pantries and things like that.
Yep.
And he shares his time at the food pantry.
Yep.
And that, connects people to him, to you, in a way where, like you said, it's like, I don't necessarily care that you're in loans, you're a mortgage loan officer. I mean, I do when I need it. But outside of that, if we circle this back full circle to like being memorable, brand, differentiation, we can't be a company that has a brand, but we can be individuals that have a brand and become known for something. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Looks like you've done that pretty successfully with the Dad's Club.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I truly enjoy it. Like it's just
for
fun.
Sure. And then you have fun.
It's just so much fun, right? Yeah,
yeah, totally that's fun. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually, by the way, a substitute teacher as well for the school district. I've only done it a couple times, but I'm like an emergency.
You must be a great substitute teacher.
Oh my gosh! So I do magic tricks, which is just this magic coloring book thing that if you behave, I'll do a magic trick.
And I can see it now. Kids, put your books away. All right, here's what we're going to do.
We're going to learn about sports betting
sports betting.
Right.
I'm going to teach you how to throw dice. All right, so here we go.
Right.
Don't tell Mrs. Smith when she comes back on Monday.
Right. Yep.
That's awesome, man. Well, cool. This has been a fantastic conversation. Once again, people, how can you not want to learn more about Shape right now, right? Yeah. After hearing this amazing story. So links are in the show notes. Also, links to your social profiles, LinkedIn, Instagram. If people want to see the wigs, that's where they should go, right?
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe one day we'll get the real six-pack abs. You won't have to wear a t-shirt anymore.
So I've lost like 40 pounds. Yeah,
really?
That's been another kind of big thing this year is that, I've lost 40 pounds.
No way. What'd you do?
So I'm on a mission I wanted to set like a really big, hard goal for myself this year. And so one of the things that I really enjoy or have enjoyed is like just, going out with my friends or going to a ball game and having a beer or whatever. And so I decided to quit drinking for a year, 365 days. I'm on day 140 right now or something like that.
Anything.
Right? Who's counting, right? 140, whatever.
Right.
It's amazing what happens when that kind of that opens up clarity wise yes. and what you can refocus your time with and working out and yep. all the things. So yeah, that's been part of the journey as well. Is I'm trying to get abs so really? That I can show it's kind of even a play into the getting in shape.
Right. Oh, perfect.
And so I have my headbands, which I don't have. We'll get a video. We'll do something at yeah. the show with it, but yeah, getting so in shape.
Have literally. You done the clips of you working out yet? Like with the whole getting in shape thing?
No one wants to see a workout yes, video.
Come on. Just 30 seconds.
No.
Just a shot of you walking into the gym and proof that you're doing it.
I do have a cool video of me walking into the gym. Yeah, I do have that.
Perfect. It's on that's Instagram. All we need. That's yeah. cool. Awesome. Well, we'll follow that journey. I think that's the other thing too, is like people yep. like to follow a journey.
Yeah.
Right? The whole giving up drinking, 75 hard, whatever it yeah, is.
All the stuff.
You know, people like to follow that. So
sure.
I listen. And by the way, I'm somebody who can relate to that as well, because that's a big part of my life. And years ago, I was a little bit overweight and kind of made some decisions to make those changes. And
sure.
now it's just a lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of people, as I'm sure you know, sometimes need that inspiration.
Yeah.
Or that motivation to just be like, well, damn it, freaking Scott's doing it. I'm going to do it too.
Right. Yeah. I've had a lot of people reach out when I've shared my stuff on there about it. Yep.
All right, people, you know what to do. Go check out Shape. SetShape.com and make sure you follow Scott on all the socials. Appreciate you being here, man.
Such an honor. My 2018, pleasure. I've been listening to your show. We didn't talk about that. I was on a plane searching for podcasts to listen to because I was on a plane all the time.
Mm-hmm.
First thing that comes up, listen to it. I'm like, oh, this is it. Listen to it all year long.
2018.
Wow. Yeah.
That goes back quite a ways. Yeah. I was just looking the other day. My first episode was January 2016.
Wow.
So that's amazing. I've been here for a minute. Anyway, man.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Such an honor.
Yeah. And I know we're going to go to the Mastermind Summit and
that's it.
Continue to hang out there. But listeners, yep. you know what to do. If you like this episode, hey, leave a review in the link below, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Thanks, guys.